This podcast is intended solely for blind and visually impaired audiences and is brought to you by the Radio Talking Book Service in Omaha, Nebraska. We've been proudly serving our blind and visually impaired listeners for 50 years.
It's time now for today's edition of Community Conversations on Radio Talking Book. This is the program where we dialogue with voices from the Omaha community. And here is the host of Community Conversations, Stephanie Patzer.
Good day to everyone out there in the studio today for Community Conversations. I have Jim Yurok and Amber Steet with the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska. Welcome to the studio, you two.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Could you both tell us a little bit about yourself, your origin story, and what brought you to the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska? Is it of Nebraska or for Nebraska?
Of Nebraska.
Of Nebraska.
Go ahead, Amber.
I moved here in 2023, back in late February, early March. I came here for a combination of school and to be closer to Jim, because we were starting to date at the time. And even though school didn't work out because, well, you might say it was God's plan because health issues were on the way, Jim and I are still doing pretty great. And I had been a member of ACB in Alabama and in some of the other states I'd lived in. And so it was just a natural progression for me to become part of ACB here.
And as for me, I was actually, what brought me to American Council? Actually, for me, I was actually told by our then president, who is no longer with us, Lorraine Bamberry. She called me up. And I was, this is May of 89, April of 89, she called me up. And she said, Jim, she says, you are going to come to a meeting. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have fun and you're going to like it. Get involved. And I thought, well, being 20 years old at the time, I thought, you know, I can give it a shot and see what happens. I went to the first meeting the Omaha chapter had in May 20th of 89 over at the League of Human Dignity there. And I went. I got hooked, and I've been there ever since. That meeting was the that I attended was the meeting to start the process to launch what is now known as Sheriff Fair. And Sheriff Fair was a creation of the Omaha chapter of the American Council of the Blind. So that's I had some work involved in that, and I actually enjoyed doing it. In fact, I was with Sheriff Fair until January of 19, when I said, I'm done, I've had enough. And, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
Well, first of all, I didn't know I had a couple in here. So that right there was news to me. So I love that. Also, you spoke of Sheriff Fair. Can you elaborate for listeners that might not know what that is, what exactly Sheriff Fair is, and maybe how you helped put it together?
Sheriff Fair at the time was conceptualized to be a transportation camp subsidy program for the blind and visually impaired in the Omaha area. The rationale behind that was at the time, in fact, maybe even still today too, buses don't always go where folks want them to go. Mobi or paratransit here in the Omaha area doesn't always, you know, work with folks' schedule. And the other, and of course, this is the days before Uber and Lyft. And there was really the only other option you had, relying on family and friends, which may not always be, you know, because they have busy lives, work schedules, and all of that. And so the thought process was, why don't we see how, if we can somehow subsidize taxi service, how can we pull that off? So what we did at that meeting in May of 89, we actually sat there and devised a survey, and there was a list of, I forget, five or six, there was some questions, I forget whether it was five, six, how many questions there were, but we had a list of questions. And what we did was, you know, again, this is the days before, you know, internet technology and that, sat there, typed it up, large print typewriter, and thought, well, we got to get the data somehow. So what we did was we mailed out the surveys to everybody that we knew that had a vision impairment. And of course, I forget how many surveys we mailed out. Probably over 100, 150. Got 36 responses back, which I suppose in the grand scheme of things is probably not a good percentage. But it gave us the data we needed. And overwhelmingly, it was decided that, you know, of the respondents, that if, they said if a taxi service were available, they would use it. So with that information, then we decided, now how are we going to raise the funds to pull this off? Because you can't just offer something and you got to be able to pay for it, unlike the federal government. They can do what they wish. And so what we did before we launched the program in 1995, I believe it was, we held a number of benefit dances at the Eagles Club down on Douglas Street, 24th and Douglas. We did a lot of, you know, boutique sales in, you know, grocery stores, any other kind of fundraising project we could think of, we would do. And then I think it was 95, the program was actually launched as a test pilot with 36 participants. And I forget how long the pilot lasted, but the pilot was so successful that once we had enough funding, we opened it up to everybody. And, of course, now Share a Fare has expanded to include Uber, Lyft. And Share a Fare, that's FARE.org, is the website for listeners if they want to check it out.
You should be proud to be a part of that program. That's fantastic. Now, just to reiterate for listeners, it's Share a Fare, AFAIR.org.
Nope.
Oh, AFARE.
ARE, of course not.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The word share, the word A, the word fair, FARE.org.
Right. Okay. And that's where they would look for how they would do the whole reimbursement up to $100 per month or $300 a quarter.
I'm sure the information there, I know the application is there.
Okay.
I haven't visited the site recently to see what all's there.
Right.
But if not, the phone number's there, and they can call. And I'm sure Lisa could give them the information over the phone, too.
Okay, excellent. Excellent.
There's an online
program.
Application, too.
Okay, okay. That's a really good resource for our listeners. As far as the American Council of the Blind Nebraska, share what that responsibility brings for both of you.
You want to go first, Amber, or you want me to go first?
You go first.
You know, I suppose there's a lot of response. When you say responsibility, are you referring to officer responsibility or just responsibility and belonging to a consumer group?
I would say officer responsibility, and if you want to branch out to consumer group, that would be fine as well. My goal is to find out a little bit more about the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska, and then I know that you guys have a big convention coming up, and I want to wrap up our whole conversation that way, but I feel like in order to talk about the convention, it'd be great to at first talk about what the ACBN is doing here.
As far as officer responsibility, as I said, I've been involved, since 1989. At that time, I won't use the word nothing. I was a member, and of course, there are responsibilities in being a member when you're, whether it's the Eagles, whether it's, you know, DAV, whatever, there's always responsibilities involved. But I'm one of those people that I'd like to be involved and do things. And so I've held a number of positions within the state as well as Omaha. A number of years ago, I was Omaha chapter president, Omaha treasurer, vice president. Only thing I didn't do was secretary then. I then branched out, either I'm a glutton for punishment or I enjoyed it, take your pick. And I've held the office on the state level, office of president, three times that I can remember, treasurer once, vice president as well. Now I'm currently interim secretary. We're still looking for a secretary. It's a great way to get involved and meet people, network, you know, share ideas, you know, change, basically find out from people how they accomplish daily tasks. You know, you're in a network, you're in a group with a lot of folks with the same common issues, if you will, and it's a great way to exchange ideas.
That makes sense. How about you, Amber? Are you an officer as well?
I am in charge of fundraising, and I am on the convention committee. The big thing I am focusing on right now is setting up the online auction for convention.
Okay. I do want to touch base about what that convention is all about. So if we want to share more about, you shared about what your roles are as far as officer and being in charge of fundraising for Amber. What about, did you say, the consumer side of things, like why it would be important for somebody out in the world to get involved?
You want me to take that, Amber?
Yes.
I suppose the way that can be answered is if you are looking to network, to be around folks who are experiencing the same issues, it's a good way to do that. There are a lot of people within the American Council that, you know, are probably going through the same things that many other folks are. And unless you, you know, look, it's hard to get out of your comfort zone. I get that. You know, you're used to a certain routine. Transportation may be difficult, and we understand that. But to the extent possible, if you're able to get out into the community, you know, be among people, it's a good thing to do. You're not going to be able to exchange ideas at home within four walls. So I would say part of the big thing about a consumer group is just that. Being around folks that have the same issues as you do, exchange ideas, you know, what may work for you may not work for somebody else, and you may give somebody else an idea, oh, maybe I can do whatever task it is better if I do this. So just dialoguing with folks is probably the big part of the value.
That feels like a really big value. So again, for our listeners, it's a great place to network and such. And you already talked a little bit about, I assume, what could be the biggest obstacles, that transportation piece, but there is help in that way with the ShareAfair.org program. Also, carpooling, getting right together with others, that if somebody, I assume part of that networking is saying, you know, why don't we all go together and we'll have this person drive this time and this person drive the next time.
The other thing that helped, and, you know, we were all kind of upset, you know, 6 years ago when the pandemic hit, everything was shut down. You know, you were stuck in your home even if you didn't want to be. And I'm one of these people that I don't really go out a whole lot, but when I know I can't do something, that's when I want to do it.
Right on.
And so, you know, even it was, it's a blessing in disguise. You know, now we can do online, you know, via Zoom, via whatever it is. So if you can't get out that way, if there is an option to do the Zoom aspect, you know, that's another option too.
Okay. So tell me and tell our listeners, and maybe Amber, you can share this part. Do you have monthly meetings? Are they quarterly? When are the meetings? That kind of thing.
Monthly. At-large meets. So far, we've had two meetings on a monthly basis, and Omaha meets monthly as well.
Okay. Yeah. And then are there – okay, so I understand usually meetings per se – are more business-like. You have an agenda and you have things to talk about. Are there also more entertaining or social type gatherings tied to the people you meet there?
There can be. I know in June, the Omaha chapter has a summer picnic, usually indoors because it's hot. The Omaha chapter usually provides the meat. Everybody else brings a side dish. You know, that's fellowship there. We usually have a Christmas gathering, too, in December. Sometimes we're in a, you know, in a restaurant, what have you. This last December, we were at our usual meeting place, had some food brought in. And, yeah, there is a social aspect. And, of course, you don't necessarily need the group to be sociable with the membership. You know, if you develop friendship, call somebody up, say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? You want to meet for dinner? You want to get together for a football game at the bar? Whatever it is. You know, you don't need necessarily a chapter meeting or a chapter event to sponsor it.
Right. That is true. So is there an ACB for each state?
Can we take it, Amber?
Yes.
to answer your question, at one time there was.
Okay.
Right now, Alaska's without an ACB chapter. Nevada's without an ACB chapter. South Carolina just started one. I think there's one more state that I can't think of that doesn't have an ACB chapter. But the thing about the American Council, we have special interest affiliates under the umbrella, if you will. There are divisions or affiliates for blind lawyers, blind teachers, low vision concerns, technology-related issues, blind information technology solutions. It used to be, in my day, when I was first involved, it was Visually Impaired Data Processors International. So there are those affiliates out there, those that if you have a special need or interest, there may be one for you.
Very good. Now, what I do want to switch to is the focus on the convention. So the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska is having a convention coming up in April. Can you, and it's on top of that, how I understand it, for doing a little searching myself, it's celebrating 50 years. So what does that all mean and how is this all happening?
I think it's a big deal. I really do. There aren't too many marriages that last 50 years. All of my parents lasted 61, but it's a big deal, I think, because, you know, we've been around doing what we're doing, and apparently something's working right because we've been around that long. The convention itself is April 17th and 18th in Omaha at the Holiday Inn downtown on Cumming Street. The information is on the website, acbnebraska.org. The agenda is somewhat finalized. There's a few tweaks that probably have to be made. On Friday, we're partnering with the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. On Friday morning, we're doing an employment piece. It runs from 9 to noon. And we are trying to tackle, if you have a vision impairment, how do you go about applying for a job? How do you make that work? And so right now we have a couple of panelists come in and talk about how they navigated the job scene and what they did to land their current job. At 10 o'clock that morning, Michael Dalto is coming in from Baltimore. He's the commission sponsoring this part of it. He's going to come in and talk about navigating the Social Security scene, how to get your job and yet keep your disability benefits and live to tell about it. And he's offered to come in, and after the fact, anybody who wants to meet with him one-on-one, he set aside 4 hours, 30-minute slots each, to talk with folks one-on-one about their particular needs.
I'm going to interrupt for just one moment. Is there a special sign-up for that time slot, or is that something that somebody would do as they come into the convention itself?
There is a sign-up for it.
Okay.
And it's on the website. If people have issues with, you know, signing up online, I can, my phone number is there, I can leave it here too as well, and they call me and we can figure something out. I know Friday night currently is planned some kind of recreation activity that's still trying to be figured out. And I'm trying to remember, Saturday the 18th is more of a health and wellness type presentation. And I don't have the agenda in front of me, but it's on the website, acbnebraska.org. It's the information is there. We're having exhibits, 2-day exhibits this year, Friday and Saturday. Friday is more focused on low vision needs, and Saturday is kind of the recreation aspect of exhibits.
I can sort of speak to the health fair.
Go.
Yeah.
We're going to have exhibits, of course, related to health and wellness. The health fair itself is going to have the boardroom, which is the little conference room off to the side of the big Bacardi ballroom. If you're familiar with the Holiday Inn and how it's mapped out, that room is going to be reserved for screenings where medical information will be handled. So the kind of stuff that you may not want just out in the open in an exhibit hall. So they're going to be doing diabetes. We're going to try and have, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, hearing and vision.
What? Oh, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
hearing and vision screenings. Did I hear something about cholesterol, blood pressure? Yeah, just kind of we're trying to get a number of screenings in to that room that people might miss because they don't have access to health care. And so we're trying to have the Lions come in and do it. We're going to have, at the very least, diabetes screening, the glucose testing, and possibly A1C. But we're going to try to have more than that, too, so that when people are finished, if they have a doctor, they can take that paper into their doctor and say, hey, these are what my test results are from the ACB convention. Are there any next steps I need to take to maybe improve these numbers, or am I okay?
That's a really nice benefit to have at the convention. And it sounds like you guys are taking care to keep, you know, some of that private for,
absolutely,
you know.
Yes.
I pulled up the schedule in front of me. The other thing I think that is interesting is it looks like, what did I see here? Financial planning.
I forgot.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. Tell her about that, Amber.
I actually know the person who's coming out, Mo Carpenter. She is a recently certified financial planner. And so she is going to come out and do a presentation on financial health, including avoidance of scams. I actually just recently learned it is no longer the senior generations that are the most prone to scams. Can you take a guess as to who it is that is now the most prone generation to scams?
I feel like, and this is just a guess because my experience, I have two adult sons that are young, and I feel like with their phones in their hands more often than anything else, I'm sure it's that younger generation.
Yes, it is the 18 to 25 or 35,
yes,
bracket. Yes.
What is that, Gen Z?
I believe.
I used to know this. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is Gen Z. And it makes sense because, I mean, I get texts from my son who says, well, what do you think of this, Mom? I'm like, if your gut instinct is saying it's not right,
yeah,
it's not
right.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the 18 to 24 year olds. I was just reading that the other day. But yeah, kids are not up on how to keep themselves safe anymore from scams.
Right. Right. Well, problem-solving skills, sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Problems are hard to solve, right? Okay, so this convention, like I said, I pulled it up. I was seeing if there was anything else that stood out. I do know, you know, I'm going to toot our own horn. I know Radio Talking Book is going to also share about our service and the technology that we can provide. It looks like the differences consumer group organizations can provide in the rehabilitative arena. That looks interesting. Carlos Servan. Yeah. So really good stuff.
Yeah, he's the commission executive director.
Well, and of course, yeah. I mean, you mentioned fundraiser and auction. I know people love, you know, fun stuff to bid on.
So we're trying something new this year. We don't know if it's going to – look, it can be a complete bust. But you don't know unless you try it. You want to tell them, Amber?
Oh, yeah. This one is my baby. 32 auctions. For the last 10 years or so, I've been seeing other affiliates in ACB and even other organizations like Outlook Nebraska using it with smashing success. And I decided this year it was our turn. And so I pitched it successfully. And so what it is, you put up your auction items, and you can also use it to advertise your sponsors if you so choose. And people come in and they can bid on items and get text notifications when they've been outbid if they opt in.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm going to run it for a week leading up to 8 o'clock the night of convention. So that Saturday night, excuse me, to be more specific. And so people will either A, have to come pick up their items in person, or B, because we want national reach, if it's someone from, say, New Jersey, they will have to pay shipping and have their items shipped to them.
Now, what you didn't tell them is they're going to be photos of the items on the website itself, and I believe a verbal description of the item itself.
That's correct. There will be a text description of the item.
So anybody, it's accessible to anybody to find out via the website what there is as far as options to bid on, and all the money is going to a really good cause, and it will keep you all bringing in these great speakers to conventions in the future.
Right. And one of the things at the banquet address will be from the national president, someplace in Washington she's from, Deb Cook Lewis. I don't know what she's talking about yet, but she will be the banquet address that evening.
The guest of honor, so to speak. So I was going to ask before we wrap up real quick, the website acbnebraska.org handles, and I know this because I have it pulled up right in front of me, but for our listeners, there is a specific tag about the 2026 convention. So that is a stop for people. Jim, are you comfortable sharing your number? I don't expect that, but
no,
if that's easy for you and you're okay with it.
I have no problem if I'll check voicemail. If I don't answer, I'll return the call. Phone number, I've had it since 1996. I should know it. 402-679-8448. Again, 402-679-8448. If you have any questions, give me a call. We can work with you and try to make something work for you.
And my question that I ask everybody as a final question, this particular segment for Radio Talking Book is called Community Conversations. Would you all share what community means to you?
I would say a sense of involvement. Being active and trying to improve the lives of those within your network and your community.
Beautiful. Amber?
It's the environment you live in and the people who live in it and how you relate to them and the environment.
And I think you both have shared a lot about what your community means to you through ACB Nebraska. And really, listeners, this 2026 convention is not just for people that are involved with ACB Nebraska right now. It's for anybody in the blind, low vision, caring for blind, low vision, anybody who this information, they can relate to it somewhere. Some way, somehow, it's open to any of y'all.
One of the things we're trying to do, and I know we've got to probably wrap this up because of time, one of the things we're going to do this year, because it's 50 years and all of that, we're going to open up the banquet to anyone who wants to come, if somebody wants to just take a look and see what we're about, the banquet only is an option too.
Love it. That's a great, great idea. So if you can't attend the whole convention, the banquet would be open to you. So take a look. Thank you so much to Jim and to Amber for visiting us with us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Community Conversations on Radio Talking Book. This is the program where we dialogue with voices from the Omaha community. And this is the Radio Talking Book Network in Omaha, Nebraska. We've been proudly serving our blind and visually impaired listeners for 50 years. Radio Talking Book is brought to you with the cooperation of KIOS-FM in Omaha and statewide through the facilities of Nebraska Public Media. Thank you all for being loyal Radio Talking Book listeners and supporters.